Amen. All righty. Well, you see, tonight we're in Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2. So the last few weeks, of course, we didn't meet for a long time in the book of Galatians. But even before that, we went through chapter 2, verse 10. And the past 2 weeks that we have been going over the Galatians, we just went basically on a review of what we've been doing. So tonight we're actually going to pick up where we need to be in verse number 11 of chapter number 2. And of course, if you have not been with us, this is the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to the churches in the region of Galatia, and he's defending the truth of the gospel to them, the gospel that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So he's defending that to them. So we'll get started tonight in verse number 11, and we'll go ahead and read through the whole chapter. We won't get through every verse. We'll go ahead and read it because it's all good. So verse number 11 says this in Galatians chapter number 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And that word there means hypocrisy. Paul says in verse 14, But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And he says, We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. And verse 16 is very important to this entire letter. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. And here it is. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And verse 20 is one that we all need to memorize. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, a lot of those verses are a little bit hard to understand, so we're going to go through them tonight and try to make it just a little bit easier for you. But before we get into the text tonight, let's talk about the book of Acts for a second. The book of Acts, of course, is a historical book about the history of the early church. And in the book of Acts, there are two men throughout those 28 chapters that really stand head and shoulders above everybody. And can somebody guess who those two men are? You're going to have to talk to me. Who? Peter and Paul. Are those two men in the book of Acts that are really talked about more than anybody? First 12 chapters of Acts, Peter has 5 sermons. The next chapters, chapter 13 through 28, Paul has 11 sermons. Nearly 100% of that second part of Acts is all about the Apostle Paul. So you've got Peter in the first part, and then you've got Paul in the second part. And of course, they've become brothers in Christ after Paul was converted in Acts 9. And I'm positive that these two apostles, who are really the leaders of the church here in the book of Acts, they loved one another. There's no doubt about that. Paul mentions Peter a lot in Galatians, and Peter actually mentioned Paul in 2 Peter chapter number 3. So they were sure of each other that both were apostles, and they loved each other. And we saw earlier in chapter number 2 that the message Paul preached was actually a message that Peter preached too. They both preached the same exact gospel. There's only one gospel, that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Peter said, Paul, you're preaching that. And Paul said, Peter, you're preaching that. And they came together and realized they were preaching the exact same thing. So they're brothers in Christ. They agree with one another. But here in our text tonight, there's something a little bit different that happens, isn't there? Because a confrontation comes up between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. Now, when you read through a text, you have to wonder, why in the world did Paul write about this? Because if I have a confrontation with somebody, I don't really want to talk about it anymore. It's done. It's over. So is Paul writing this to gossip? No, Paul is writing this for a very specific reason, and I want to tell you the reason. Remember, he's defending himself, saying, I am a real apostle, just like Peter, James, and John. I'm no less an apostle than the apostle Peter. Peter is not up here, and Paul's not down here. Peter is here, and Paul is here. We're on equal planes. And he makes that case tonight. Because when Paul called out Peter, Peter didn't have anything to say in return. And that showed the people right there that, like I said, Peter wasn't up here and Paul wasn't down here. They were both on equal planes as an apostle. So that's why he writes it, to prove to the people he's writing to that he's just as much an apostle as everybody else. And the message that he preaches is the truth. So let's get right into it tonight. I want you to see three things, okay? I want you to see, first of all, the personal confrontation. And I'll just be honest with you, this is my favorite point of the sermon. The personal confrontation in verse 11. Let's read it. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Now, remember, Antioch was the home base of the Apostle Paul. Paul was usually on the road most of the time, but when he came back home on a break from his missionary journeys, he spent his time in Antioch. And apparently there's a lot of Christians in Antioch. Peter comes to Antioch to spend time with them, to fellowship with them, to have church there maybe. And he's just there to have a good time. But when Peter gets there, he is awakened by a rude awakening. Because the Apostle Paul has a little bit of a problem with the Apostle Peter. And the Bible says when Peter got there, Paul withstood him to the face. Now, let me know if your Bible says this. Does verse number 11 says, I withstood him over text message? Is that what it says? Does it say, I withstood him through another church member? Does it say, I withstood him on Facebook or on email? That's not what it says, does it? In Twitter. Yeah, I missed that one. No. It says, I withstood him to the face. In other words, Paul and Peter were not on separate sides of the room talking through mediators, through other church members, through text. They were eyeball to eyeball. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't like being a part of drama, but I sure do like watching drama play out. I love it. I'll just be honest with you. I hate it when I'm in the middle of it, but my goodness, if it's on TV, especially if it's something going on Facebook, I am right in the middle of it watching, saying, yeah, boy, this is going to be good. And all I can imagine is Peter and Paul are eyeball to eyeball. I mean, they're the two biggest leaders in the early church. You can only imagine. There's people standing up on the top of the pew saying, what's going on over there? They look like they're about to wrestle. Everybody's watching. I don't know about you. That's what I'd be doing. They face to face and you know something's about to go down. And y'all can lie all y'all want to and say y'all don't like it, but everybody likes to watch a little drama. And that's what started to happen here. Everybody knew the tension was rising a little bit high. Because Peter and Paul are face to face, and neither one of them are smiling probably. Now why in the world did the Apostle Paul have to confront Peter, verse 11? Because he was to be blamed. In other words, Peter did something that was his fault. Peter did something that he was to be blamed for. You say, well, what was that? We'll get to that in a second. Because I cannot pass up this opportunity. Because verse 11 is a great opportunity to teach about this subject. Doing ministry, Brother Danny, a lot of people have been doing it a whole lot longer than I have that are even sitting in here. What I've learned over the past 26 months of being here is ministry is all about learning. If you ever stop learning, you're in big trouble. I have learned that ministry is all about learning. You learn something every day if you keep your eyes open. And I'll go ahead and tell you this. One of the greatest lessons, and I'm talking probably the number one lesson I've learned just doing ministry over the past 2 years, is entailed in verse number 11. Because verse number 11 is a lesson that I've learned, and it's this. That if I have a problem with someone, particularly in the church, what do you do about it? And verse number 11 gives you the exact answer of what to do about it. You go talk to that person face to face. Somebody say amen. That is one of the greatest lessons I can tell you that I've learned. Now, I want you to understand this. Do you realize that if we as church members would implement this into our life, I'm not calling out anybody, I'm saying all of us need this. If all of us would do this, would apply this to our life, I am of a firm believer that that would prevent 99.9% of problems in the church. That if when you had a problem with Susie, you didn't go talk to Tina about it. That if you had a problem with Danny, you didn't go talk to Billy about it. But if you had a problem with Danny, you go sit down and talk to Danny about it. If you had a problem with Susie, you go sit down and talk to Susie about it. Verse 14, look at it. Look what Paul did. Paul had a problem with Peter. And it says, I said unto who? Peter. When Paul had a problem with Peter, he didn't say, John, come here, let's talk about something. He didn't say, James, come here. He didn't say, Andrew, come here, let's talk about your brother Peter. He went straight to Peter, didn't he? Now, with Father's Day coming up in about 10 days, I don't mind telling you, this is my belief, I think I had one of the best dads I could ever ask for growing up as a child. And I hope I'm half the dad that he is to me, to my son. But my dad, when I got called into the ministry and I went and told him, he didn't know what to tell me. He said, son, I've never done anything like that. He said, I don't know what to tell you. I usually have some good advice for you, but I don't have anything except we're going to pray for you because you're going to need it. And it was about a week before I came up here, before I moved up here to be the pastor, he said, Justin, I want to tell you something. He said, I may not know a lot about the Bible, all this stuff, about theology and all this stuff. He said, but I do want to tell you this. He said, and you should never forget this. He said, son, if you have an issue with somebody, and you're going to have an issue with somebody being a pastor of a Baptist church, he said, son, go talk to that person one-on-one about it. And he said, half the time that will resolve the problem about 90% of the time. And a lot of you have found that out yourself. A lot of you have found out that if you just had a problem with somebody and you just went and said, hey, can you come talk to me? And we sat down and talked about it, you'd end up okay, wouldn't you? But the problem with most churches, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about we as Christians as a whole. If you have a problem with this person, you go talk to that person. Conflict comes in the church, doesn't it? I don't know if y'all have ever been in a church that doesn't have conflict. I hadn't. And the reason it always does is because the devil hates the church, right? He's going to do everything that he can to cause conflict. But also, you and I still have something called the flesh. And the flesh does not want anything to do with God or the Bible or anything. The flesh is still there. So there's going to be conflicts in church. But the Apostle Paul in verse number 11 literally gave us an example of how to solve conflict in the church. And that is when you have a problem with a particular person, you go to that person and talk about it. Now, you may be looking at me tonight saying, well, I don't have a problem with anybody. Well, the Holy Spirit ought to plug this into your heart, and when a problem does come up with somebody, He'll bring that right to your memory and say, why don't I just call them and we'll sit down and talk about it. Amen? What I'm preaching tonight is the truth. Y'all, well, I don't know why. Is that the truth? Say amen. One of the biggest truths we can ever learn about that is follow the example of the Apostle Paul. Don't make that a habit to just confront people all the time. But if it comes up, he goes, hey, well, the preacher told me I can confront whoever I want or whatever I want. No, I didn't say that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it will solve a lot of problems in a lot of churches. If when you had a problem with that person, you just said, listen, can we just sit down and talk about it? And half the time it would solve the problem. So that's what Paul does here with Peter. There's a personal confrontation right here. Because it says Peter was to be blamed for something, and that's the second point. Not only do you see a personal confrontation, but there's practical confusion going on amongst the Apostle Peter. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, "For before that, before certain men came from James," and those were the leaders of the church there in Jerusalem, that's who those men are, "Peter ate with the Gentiles." But then it says, But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared them which were of the circumcision," and circumcision means the Jews. Verse 13. "The other Jews that were with Peter dissembled likewise with him." So Peter wasn't by himself in doing this. There was a lot of people that followed the example of the Apostle Peter when he did this. Now let's talk about the problem here that Paul had with Peter. You've got Christians everywhere in Antioch. By the way, the first place people were called Christians were in Antioch. That's in Acts 11, verse 26. But anyway, it tells us Peter was sitting down at the dinner table with a bunch of believers. Now keep in mind, Peter is a Jewish believer, okay? Peter is a Jew that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's sitting down with a bunch of Gentiles that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a problem? That's not the problem. Jesus sat down with a bunch of Gentiles and ate dinner with them. That's not the problem. Here's the problem. When Peter sat down and ate with them, everything was fine. But when certain men came in the room, the other Jewish people, Peter said, "Whoa, I got to get up. I can't be seen with y'all." That was the problem. The problem wasn't Peter was eating with them. The problem was he didn't want to be seen eating with them. I don't know if you've heard of that word. It's called being a hypocrite, right? And that's actually what the Bible says. Let me illustrate for you what happened. This is very easy to illustrate, especially in 2020 on this date. Let's say I go to Chick-fil-A tonight. And if they were open in the dining room, let's say I have five black friends that go and we sit in the dining room together. We're having a good time. We're talking, we're eating, we're having a good time of fellowship. But let's say I turn around and look in the parking lot and five of my white friends pull up in the parking lot. And they get out of the car and they start to walk in Chick-fil-A. And I turn and look at the people that I'm sitting with and say, "Hey, listen, this has been fun and everything, but I cannot be seen sitting with y'all, so I'm gone." Is that a problem? Somebody shake your head and say yes. That's a problem. That's called being a hypocrite, right? It's not a problem that I'm sitting down eating with black people. The problem is when I don't want to be seen with them, right? That was Peter. That's a great thing to compare Jews and Gentiles during this time. It's the same thing that was going on then. Peter was sitting down eating with them, but when these Jews came along from Jerusalem, he got up and left. So the problem was that he was eating. The problem was he didn't want to be seen eating with the Gentiles. Now, some of you might be looking at me saying, "Well, what's the big scuffle between Jews and Gentiles during this time?" Now, I need you to understand this, okay? So try your best to listen. Because if you miss this, you miss the whole point of Paul's letter to Galatians. What's the big rift between Jews and Gentiles in Galatia? That was the height of the problem in Galatia. All right, listen. You've got two groups of people in the early church. Two groups of people in the church during the book of Acts. You've got Jewish Christians, and those people come from the 12 tribes of Israel that we talked about from the book of Genesis. Jewish Christians have come from Abraham, believed in Christ. But you've also got Gentile Christians over here. Those are people that are not Jews. That's us. All right. So in the early church, you've got two groups, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. As a majority, the Jewish Christians over here are saying to these Gentiles, in order to become a real Christian, you've got to become a Jew too. That's why they were called Judaizers. They were trying to make people into Jews. All right. So that's the problem. You've got Jewish Christians saying to Gentiles, in order to become a real, full, righteous Christian, you've got to become a Jew too. All right? That was what was going on. You say, "Well, how in the world do you just become a Jew?" Pretty simple. Listen, if you're a male, you have to get circumcised. If you're a male or a female, every week you keep the Sabbath. Every month you keep their feast. Every year you go to their feast in Jerusalem, Passover, Tabernacles, Pentecost, all these feasts. But also you keep the Jewish dietary laws, right? You only eat kosher things. That's what Jews still do today, most of them. If you do all of those things, you're pretty much converted to being a Jew. So that's what the Jews are saying to these Gentiles. If you do all of these things, get back under the law, do the things that the Old Testament is telling you to do, you'll be a Jew. You will be a Jew, and then you will be a real Christian. So that was the issue. The Jewish Christians were saying, listen, you're not a real Christian until you become a Jew too. Unless you do these things, unless you keep the law, do all of these things, you're not a real Christian. That was the issue between Jew and Gentile in the book of Galatians, all right? Now listen, the Apostle Paul came along and taught something totally different than they taught, didn't he? He taught being a Jew doesn't make you righteous. He taught putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes you righteous. We've talked about that. So if Paul is saying, listen, if Gentiles have put faith in Christ, they are fully righteous and they are not obligated to become a Jew and keep the law, because righteousness comes one way, through faith in Christ. That's what Paul came along and began to preach. To become a Christian, a real, full, 100% Christian, doesn't mean you have to become a Jew. The only requirement is to be born again and put your faith in Christ. So let's go back to the text. That was the problem. Let's go back to it. Peter was being a hypocrite. Now listen, a hypocrite is someone who teaches one thing and does another, right? That's exactly what a hypocrite is. You say one thing and then you go and do the thing you said not to do. That was Peter. Peter taught the right things. Peter had the right doctrine. Peter said Jews and Gentiles are saved one way, through faith in Christ. That was it. But he lived something different here, didn't he? You see, when he was sitting here with the Gentiles, he's a Jew, and the Jews walked up, and Peter got up and walked away. Do you know what his actions just said? You're not good enough yet. Peter's actions by getting up from that table said to the Gentiles, if you would just become a Jew, I'd sit with you all day. If you would just do these things, I'd sit with you the rest of the night. But because you're still a Gentile, even though you're a Christian, I'm not going to sit with you. So you know what he's saying? You're not good enough. I don't accept you. You know what that made them think? Well, if Peter doesn't accept me, maybe God doesn't either. If Peter doesn't accept me, maybe God doesn't accept me either. So maybe I have to do the law. Maybe I have to become a Jew. And that was why Paul had such a problem with Peter. And apparently, the Apostle Paul saw the whole entire thing. Because verse 14 says, when I saw. So, apparently they were having dinner. And Paul's just somewhere in the background. Peter and all of them sitting around. And then here come the Jewish people. And he watches Peter get up like a rat. Like a roach when you turn on the light. Gone. And Paul said, not on my watch. So the last point I want to give you, and I'm done. It's not only a personal confrontation, Peter's practical confusion, but also Paul's perfect comeback to Peter. Verse 14. Paul looks at Peter and says, he said, I said unto Peter before them all. So it wasn't just really face to face with Peter. Everybody was watching. He said, if you're a Jew and you're living like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? Now that's pretty confusing right there, isn't it? I want you to focus on that last part though. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? That's what Paul is saying. Because Jews were saying, you must become a Jew to be saved. But Peter, by his very action, said this, if you would become a Jew, I would accept you, but right now, I don't accept you. That's what his actions said. And you know, remember, Paul is battling the Judaizers here. And when Peter got up from the table, you know what Peter's action said? I side with the Judaizers. So that's why Paul was so mad. Paul says, no. If you believe in the true gospel, you have to accept everybody just because they put faith in Christ. But Peter here does the opposite in his actions. Now look at verse 16, because this is something that you can't miss. This is literally the heart of the letter. This brings out the theme of the letter. Verse 16, Paul is still talking to Peter, and he says, you know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He just said the same thing three times in a row. Don't you notice that? Justified is mentioned there three times in one verse. The word law is mentioned three times in one verse. And the word faith is mentioned twice in that verse. So nearly every word in there is either justified, faith, or law. That's because that was the problem. How is a man justified? So what does justified mean? It means to be declared righteous. How does a man become righteous? And that was the riff. It is either two ways, by the works of the law or by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I want you to notice something. That doesn't just apply to some people. That applies to every single person to ever walk the face of the planet. You say, why is that? Look at verse 21. It's one of my favorite verses in the book. He said, I don't frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I want you to understand that. This is a question nobody will ever be able to answer. Ever. If one man, just one, throughout the history of the world could get to God by doing good things, why did Christ have to come and die? Just one person. If one person can do it, God said, well, everybody can do it then. So it's up to everybody to do good, to meet the standard, to get to me. But the problem was there couldn't one person do it. There couldn't one person meet God's standard. So God said, since you can't get to me, I've got a plan. Why don't I come down and get to you? And that's what He did on that first Christmas. He came down to us. Because it was absolutely 100% impossible for any human being to get to Him. So God said, well, let me come to you. And He became a man through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not one person ever that's been able to say, I made it on my own. That's why we're not going to be walking around in heaven with our crowns saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. You probably won't even look at me one time in heaven. Because all eyes will be on the one who's seated on the throne. Because the only reason we're there is because of what He did for us. That's it. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to say here in verse number 16. He said, Peter, You know that. You know that nobody has ever gotten to God by the works of the law. The only reason one can get there is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to be done. In these next few verses, they're kind of hard to understand, so we won't go through all of them tonight. But Paul is actually going to prove. He's about to say, a Jew that is under the law, that doesn't make you righteous. Just because you're a Jew who keeps the law and does these good things, that does not make you righteous. Because remember, that was the argument of the Judaizers. Being a Jew and keeping the law is what makes you righteous. And Paul is about to prove, no it doesn't. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Listen to what that means. He said, we. He's talking to Peter. Paul and Peter, he said, we are Jews by nature. You know what that means? When they were born into this world, they were a Jew. They were born as Jews under the 12 tribes of Israel, a child of Abraham. That's what that means. And they grew up keeping the law. You see that in Philippians, I think, chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul. He did everything he possibly could to keep the law. Peter may have did the same thing. They grew up keeping the law. Yet verse 16, he said, although we're Jews by birth, we had to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, Peter, he's basically asking Peter, how did you get saved? And Peter would essentially say, well, remember back in Matthew chapter number 16 when I said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I confess Christ as the Lord God, the Son of God. He'd say, I got saved not because I was a Jew, but because I saw Jesus and I put my faith in Him. So Paul would look at him and say, well, isn't it weird that we who are Jews by birth got saved by putting faith in Christ, yet we're telling other people that they have to become a Jew to be saved? In other words, we were born Jews. That didn't help us any. We kept the law all of our life. That didn't help us any. We had to put faith in Christ. And Paul's saying, why would you tell people they have to become Jews to be saved when being a Jew didn't even save me? That's what he's saying here. That's exactly what that means. And you see, there's not people going around, I don't think, in North Carolina and Baptist churches saying, unless you become a Jew and do all of these things, you can't be saved. But as we said before, there are a lot of people who add a lot of things to what Christ has already finished. There are a lot of religions who say you have to do more than what Christ has already done for you, right? And essentially, I've said it before, they're calling the Lord Jesus a liar. Because when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It doesn't matter what your interpretation is of that. What matters is He said it is finished, and that's the truth. Meaning what He did is a finished work. It is done, and the only thing you have to do is now receive it. Nobody has to work for their salvation. He already worked for it, and He already accomplished it, and it's done, it's finished, it's paid for. That's what's going on here, and I'm excited to get to next week. We'll look at verse number 20 because it's one of the greatest verses, I think, in the book of Galatians. It tells us how we're to live our lives as Christians. But we'll see here tonight that Paul called out Peter and said, listen, I know you believe the right things, you teach the right things, but your actions are speaking something totally different. And we all know that actions speak louder than words, right? And Peter never said anything in return, apparently. We don't have it at least recorded for us in Galatians chapter number 2. The main thing tonight, and I'll say it again, a man is saved one way, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And I'm so thankful, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful tonight that Christ is my Savior. Father, we do thank You for this Word tonight. And Lord, I pray that You would just be with us as we continue to dive into it. Lord, even as we go home, I pray that You would help us to understand, to grow in our wisdom of it, Lord, and to be even more hungry for Your Word. Because God, we thank You for it, that it's a never-ending fountain. So Lord, we do thank You so much for this Word. And I pray that You just be with us as we leave this place, as we go home. Lord, keep us safe. And I pray You bring us back on Sunday as we meet together once again to worship You. So Lord, we do thank You for all You're doing in our midst. And we love You. Thank You for saving us through Your grace and through Your grace alone. In Jesus' name, amen.